English? Okay, whatever you say. All right? Okay. So, how is everybody? Very good. Before coming here, I was reading all this news about pollution in Delhi. Like, yes, you can see how everything is getting polluted. They can detect the material pollution, but they can't recognize the spiritual pollution. That also you can see, the spiritual pollution. People are becoming so degraded. So many such very, very shocking news that we get to hear. In the West, you know, like, there is a very big propaganda that India is a very unsafe country for women. And I feel so bad, you know, when I see that, because India was supposed to be the most moral country, the most exalted country. India was India's wisdom. India's wisdom is incomparable. Nowhere in the world they have this kind of wisdom. But see what happened to India. And what is the reason for India's degradation? Because India has rejected her own culture. India has given up the very culture which was India's greatest asset. And when you give up something, you have to take something. Right? And what you are, it's giving up the wisdom of the Vedas, the Vedic culture, and what they are accepting? The Western culture. That's what I tell them, that India has become degraded because they are following you, they are imitating you. What you are doing here, they are doing. And it's much worse in those countries. But when it happens in India, few cases, it's through the media, it's broadcasted on. I'll be very frank also. Like, look at yourself. Like the other day, one of my godbrothers was telling me that he was giving the class in English. So, somebody protested. Why are you speaking in English? Why don't you speak in Hindi? His reply was, I'll speak in Hindi when you come here wearing dhoti and kurta. So, Hindutva, Bharatiyatva, all that are just superficial claims. We have to go to the root of it. And the root is, you have to accept the Vedic culture. And ISKCON is the only organization that is actually spreading the Vedic culture. And people are accepting. People are accepting. Why am I spending time in America now? Because people are responding. Of course, in India also people are responding. You all are responding. So many of you are responding to Krishna consciousness. About 45 years back, there was very little Indian involvement with ISKCON. we were just a few rare commodities in this country. Few, just a handful of Indians. And today, so many of you are coming forward. That's a very good sign. And we feel very thankful that you are responding so nicely. So please take to this, take to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. I mean, this is the most profound, not only spiritual, even the material wisdom, the most profound wisdom, both material and spiritual. From any angle you take it, you will see the Vedic wisdom is highest. Maybe I will give you the garland now, because I am getting, you see, I am a little sensitive to the flowers nowadays, because of some, I have some problem in my skin. I even have been wearing it for a long time. Now I can take it up and give it to you. See, food is one of the most important aspects. Show me any country where this many varieties of culinary preparations. The culinary art, the cooking art, the varieties of dishes, like I think today when I was taking lunch, there must have been at least 35 different preparations. And, you know, like in the West, Italian cooking is famous. In Europe, Italian cooking is one of the most actually. Advanced. But how many preparations are there? You can count in your fingers. Pasta, pizza, lasagna, gnocchi. That's it. But Indian preparation, and you go every province has varieties of culinary arts. Rajasthani cooking is completely different from Bengali cooking. Gujarati cooking is completely different from Bihari cooking. North Indian cooking is completely different from South Indian cooking. Take any subject. Like medicine. Do you know how simple, yet how scientific medical science is according to the Vedic culture? Okay, first thing is there any medical student or medical practitioner here? Is there any doctor here? Okay. Very good. Western medicine simply deals with the symptoms. I'm sure you know that. It deals with the symptom. Oh, there is fever, make arrangements to bring the fever down. Take paracetamol, the fever will come down. There is pain, take a painkiller. Like, there is some infection in the eyes, you know, take some eye drops. There's some infection in the ears, take some ear drops. So this is how they're just dealing with the symptoms. But Ayurveda doesn't deal with the symptoms. Ayurveda deals with the with the cause. Ayurveda doesn't get this, deal with the superficial symptom. Ayurveda deals with the root of the disease. And you know how simple it is? Okay, let's go and get into that. Are you all aware there are five elements in the material nature? Everything, every body is made of five elements. Our bodies, human bodies, are predominantly made of
water,
fire, air. Water, 75% of the body is water. There is fire, that's the temperature there in the body, and the fire is digesting the food and giving, supplying the energy in the form of fire and so forth. Fire. And air, we are breathing air. Right. Now, these three elements are predominant in the human body. And when there is some imbalance of these three elements, then it causes three things: mucus, bile, and air. So, mucus, air with earth, I'm sorry, water with earth. When there is water malfunctioning, then mucus. When the fire is malfunctioning, bile. When air is malfunctioning, then there is vata, which is air. Like, do you know what are the body pains caused by? Don't you? I mean, they may say, well, spondylosis, you know, slip disc, and so forth. But according to the Ayurvedic understanding, it is due to the vata, air. All the body pains, or lunacy, the things of the brain is malfunctioning of the air. So, now, these three doshas are the cause, root cause of all diseases. Alright? All the diseases will fall in these three categories. Either it is mucus, bile, or air. And the Ayurveda deals with this. Diagnosis is done by feeling the pulse. The pulse rate has three flows. And these three flows are detected by these three fingers. And they figure out what is wrong. Whether it is mucus, whether it is bile, or whether it's air. Okay, and then the other aspect of Ayurvedic treatment is, for every disease, nature has provided the cure. Nature has provided the cure for every disease. So they detect, they find, they have to study, they have to master the art to find out which is the cure, antidote, for which disease. See how scientific it is. And if you go to it, like, well, most of the medicines in allopathy is the derivatives from the nature. Only thing they do is they find out which is the antidote. Which part of the, say, there is some herbs, which is the antidote for the herb, and they extract that and get rid of everything, put a stamp there and sell it in the market as their product. But then there is a problem also in that. Actually, this I got to know from one of the research scientists from a big pharmaceutical company in America. He actually spends a lot of time in South America, in the rainforest. And his job is to find the materials for different cures from nature, from the forest. And he was telling me, this is what they do. They find the thing, this is the antidote for this medicine, and they get rid of the rest of it, just extract that from that source. And then they make their tablets or liquid or whatever. And he was telling me there is, and what is happening? Nature, when nature supplied, nature actually gave other elements to take care of the by the side effects of those diseases. Now they're getting rid of the, those things. And as a result of that, the side effects are becoming so prominent. Anyway, I mean, we are not here to kind of criticize allopathy. My point here is to see the difference, how scientific Vedic knowledge. A little while ago I was speaking to Samira. She is studying psychology. Sampada also is studying. He's a master in psychology. So, psychology means study of mind. Right? Mental behavior. Okay, mental behavior. Study of the mind. Because it's coming from the word psyche. Mind. And the exact expression actually would be the science of mind. Psycho. Now, so I asked her, what is mind? And the psychology, the modern psychology study is three aspects of the functioning of the mind, the three aspects of the mind. Unconscious, subconscious, and conscious. Some part of the mind is conscious. All kinds of impressions are stored in the mind that creates the subconscious. And the empty part of the mind is unconscious. Okay, now let us see the Vedic understanding of mind. According to the Vedas, mind is matter. Mind is matter. Just as water is matter, earth is matter, mind is one kind of matter. It's only, it's subtle matter. There are five gross elements and three subtle elements. Mind is one of them. Three subtle elements. Those three subtle elements are mind, intelligence, man, buddhi, and ahankar. Now, mind is element, an element through which the consciousness is flowing towards the material direction. Mind is the medium through which consciousness is flowing towards the material direction. It is the mind that is through which the consciousness is flowing. Now, you know, just I'll make one point here. The modern science, modern psychology or modern science doesn't have any idea about consciousness. Right? No idea about consciousness. They don't realize there's a consciousness that makes us perceive things. Anyway, let's now go into the other consideration. What is actually happening? Through the mind, consciousness is flowing towards the material direction. How it's flowing? We have the nerves, right? All the nerves are ending in five senses. The five senses are eyes, ears, touch, skin, and tongue. Some nerves are ending with the eyes. Some nerves are ending in the ears. Some nerves in the nose. Some nerves in the tongue. And some nerves to the skin. So all the nerves are ending in these five senses. And the interaction between the objects of the senses with the senses, now the senses are carrying those impressions through the nervous system, through the spinal cord, to the brain, which is the seat of the mind. All the information to carry to the mind. And if mind is tuned in, then it is registered or perceived. For example, you are seeing, your eyes are open, the object is there in front of your eyes. But if your mind is not tuned in, will you see? Sound is there, your ears are open, but if your mind is not tuned in, will you hear? So this is how mind actually is the internal sense. There are five external senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. And the internal sense is the mind. So this is the Vedic understanding. It is through the mind, the consciousness is flowing. Okay, then we have also two other aspects. Those two other aspects are intelligence. What is intelligence? Intelligence is the ability to link between different perceptions. Like for example, you see fire, one impression you have stored in your memory. And you have seen that fire burns. So your intelligence is telling you, don't touch the fire, then it will burn you. That's what intelligence is doing. Or even in more simple words, we can say, like if we compare our functioning, this functioning with the computer, then the memory of the computer is the mind. And the program is the intelligence. Right? Is the program that actually decides what to accept and what to accept and what to reject. So this is how scientific the Vedic wisdom is. I just gave you two or three examples in this way, but you can go into any aspect of it. And you will see how profound the wisdom is. But what we did, we have rejected that and borrowed some degraded culture. And the result is, the whole country is becoming degraded. Now the pollution is there. Like how to deal with that. They know. The way to deal with it is stop the oil consumption. I mean, why won't it get polluted? You're pumping out the garbage of the earth and burning it outside. So, you know, what will be the result? When the garbage burns, what do you get? Naturally you get pollution. Now look at it, you know, in this age, what is actually happening? It's an age of machine. This is the age of machine. And to run the machine, you need the fuel. And what is the fuel? Literally, it's the garbage of the earth. Where do you put the garbage? You put the garbage at a place where. Now just consider where these oil are stored? In the desert. Now, because oil has become so valuable, the desert people have become the richest people. But who is born in desert? Does our birth take place by some accidental happening, or it is some intelligent divine arrangement? Deserts were the place where the most sinful people were meant to take birth. Yeah, just as I was saying, like if we look at it, like one takes his birth in different situations because of his past activities. Those who are pious, they were born in elevated families, in a nice atmosphere. And now consider who are meant to take birth in a place where there is no food and no water. Obviously not the pious people, right? Those who have good karma. Actually, the deserts were the place where the most sinful people were meant to take birth. But in Kali Yuga, everything turns upside down. An example for that, you know, how everything turns upside down. In Bhavishya Puran, which is forecasting what's going to happen in future, meaning in the age of Kali. It says, Kali Yuga, everything will turn upside down, so much so that the lamps will burn with the wicks pointing downwards. How does the lamp burn? The wicks are pointing upwards. But in Kali Yuga, the lamps will burn with the wicks pointed downwards. In Kali Yuga, as I was saying, the garbage will become the most valuable commodity. The garbage. Like this fossil are actually the garbage. They're kept underground at a place which is absolutely useless. And that's the deserts. But now, because of this technological era, due to technological development, oil has become the most essential element. The garbage has become the most essential element. And as a result of that, the people, those who were living in desert, they became the most prosperous people. The other day I was speaking to, I generally fly with Emirates, and often I get to see some important people from Dubai. And in one such flight I was talking to one doctor, he's Arab, very nice person, well educated. And he was telling me that in their childhood, you know, how Dubai was a completely different place. And he told that the only occupation they had was smuggling gold to India. The source of income there was to smuggle gold. But then all of a sudden they struck oil. That was as late as in the 60s. And today, you know, those countries have become the richest country. Anyway, my point was not actually to point out, you know, why they became so rich and so forth. The point that I'm trying to make out, trying to make, is that how in the age of Kali things are becoming degraded. The highest culture, the Vedic culture, has become totally ignored, even by the Indians. And today's India is just imitating the West. Imitating the West. And when you imitate, in most cases, you don't imitate their assets or qualities or good aspects. Imitate the degrading heart. And the result is, you can see what's happening. And ISKCON is about the only organization that is promoting the Vedic culture. Vedic culture is not Hindutva. Hinduism is not really a Vedic concept. There is not a single mention of the word Hindu in any of the Vedic culture. I'm sure most of you have read Bhagavad Gita or reading Bhagavad Gita. Did you ever come across a single mention of the word Hindu there?
No.
Not a single mention. But today, you know, this so-called wise, learned, you know, promoters of Indian culture is promoting is that Hindu culture. Isn't the Vedic culture? This is a culture where all religions will merge and become one. All these Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, these are all the religions of the body. But the real religion should be the religion of the soul. When you are born in a certain family, we say we belong to that religion. That's my religion. Today, and those who are Hindus, tomorrow if they are born in the Muslim family, then what will happen? Good point, you know, like I just remember, Subhas Bose, Netaji Subhas Bose, was struggling to free India. So he actually approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and told him, you have so many young followers, give some of them to free India from the British. And his slogan actually was, give me blood and I'll give you freedom. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's response was that today you are trying to free India from the British. Now he first asked him, do you believe in rebirth? And his response was, which Hindu will not believe in rebirth? I said, good. Tomorrow if you are born in England, will you struggle for freeing India from the British? Just one statement made the point clear. When you look at the bigger picture, then all this becomes totally insignificant. And today what is happening? People are saying, aren't people saying, India, actually not younger ones, those who have seen India at the British time, they say that India was much better off when the British were here. At least those days we could identify our enemy. But today we can't identify our enemy because we are our own people. Those days British was trying to dominate, and now the Indians are doing the same thing to the Indians. Anyway, so the main point is that as long as we remain in this body concept, we'll not get the right answer. So these religions are bodies religions. Hinduism, Islam, and so forth. But are we all bodies or we are spirit souls? So as spirit souls, if we become situated in our spiritual identity, then all these problems will be solved. As spirit souls, we all are parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one God. There's another big mistake. Hinduism is a polytheistic religion. Hinduism believes in many gods. What a big misconception. Does Hinduism believe in many gods? Is there many? If there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, is it one or many? Naturally, Supreme is one. But you see how the mix-up took place? How this misconception or confusion took place when we didn't understand the difference between devatas and Bhagavan. Yes, devatas are many. Just as in the city there are various departments and there are different in charge. The city has, you know, water supply department, electric supply department, so many education department, finance department, and all those departments have one head in the respective departments. Similarly, in the universal affair, there are many departments. In this universe, there are many departments. There is water department, there is wind department, there is fire department, and so forth. And those who are presiding those departments, they are known as devatas or devas and devis. Like there is, say for example, air department. One person is heading the department, who is he? Pavan Dev. There is water department, who is heading? Varun Dev. There is fire department, who is heading it? Agni Dev. There are different planets, and those planets are dominated by different personalities. Or these personalities have their own domain. Like Sun planet, Moon planet, Jupiter, Mars, Mercury. In remote planets, and all these planets are one ruler. Like Jupiter, Brihaspati, Mercury, and Venus, and so forth. Now they are called Devis. Every universe has this set of Devis, and there are innumerable universes. But who is the creator of all those universes? That is Bhagavan. Now what happened is, because of lack of education, there is such a very massive misconception. India, Hinduism, is polytheistic religion. That's why, you know, like an intelligent person who has knowledge, he won't identify himself with Hinduism. Prabhupada did not promote Hinduism. Prabhupada gave Vedic culture and leading to Sanatan Dharma, the Dharma of the soul. Sanatan means eternal. Since the soul is eternal, the dharma of the soul is eternal. So So that is our real identity. And when you get into that point, will there be any difference between you are Christian, I am Hindu, you are Muslim and so forth? No. All those differences will disappear, as we are seeing in Islam. There are individuals, so many in devotees are coming from Christian background, Jewish background, Hindu background, Muslim background. So unfortunate. But they're coming from different backgrounds, which was an unfortunate situation, but after coming to Islam, they all have become. So, this is what ISKCON is doing. They're destroying this division which is segregating and unifying everybody. And it's not a sentimental claim, it is factual. We all are spirit souls. As spirit souls, we all are parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, our dharma is to become connected to Krishna. And as a result of that, all the religions are about speaking about that. How to become connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to become connected to our source. How to go back to where we all belong. Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions?
You are allowed to hear Dhamma Dhamma.
Oh, right, okay.
And if you can explain a little bit, because many are new, a little bit more.
Okay, now I have to change my gear. Okay, let me first go back, you know. I mean, what I spoke all this while, did it make any, did it stir your brains a little bit? Then why the question? A thoughtful individual will automatically have some questions to that. Don't accept something just like a fashion, just like because everybody is taking it, let me also go to ISKCON and do what ISKCON devotees are doing. Don't make it like that. Question. Through question, you will justify it. What you are doing is, your conviction will come. You'll be convinced with what you are doing. Okay, now I force someone to ask a question. Okay.
Thank you. We are often involved in youth preaching, where we at our level share with those who are new students in engineering, especially in first year. So we often have to talk on Vedic culture. So I want to ask this one question that I have in mind, that when we are presenting to new people the glories of Vedic culture, everything, then also these people are coming from background where they carry sentiments. Now how we can, I'm asking how appropriate or inappropriate would it be for us to quote the example of like Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose visiting Shalukis and Thakur, and I had very meaningful conversation. But I have a question that can we present it to new people who are just coming because they carry sentiments? What be?
You see, preaching is an art. Which means you have to give the knowledge, understanding, according to the ability of the person to grasp. When you may be a PhD, when you go to a kindergarten school, what do you do? To the kindergarten you give this PhD with grade of knowledge. To what extent you'll be able, those children will be able to understand and give that. So see how much they are able to accept, and accordingly you give. Not that, you know. It's a matter of, you know, you have to make them understand. And when it comes to making them understand, you have to see to what extent they have the ability to understand. Okay, if I ask you this analogy that I, or example that I gave you, what kind of impression it left on your mind?
Very meaningful.
Very meaningful. Yeah. Why?
Because it talks on a logical background.
Yeah.
That
okay, good, good. Yeah, go ahead.
It shows that now our actions are getting momentum because of the conception that we are Indian. So whatever we are doing is based on the conception with what we identify.
Yeah.
So if we can identify...
So the bottom line is, because you are convinced about Krishna consciousness, you could accept. But if someone is not, like if somebody is a follower of Subhas Bose or admirer of Subhas Bose, then you tell him that, and that's the last time you see this. So that's the point, you know. Like, give it to them to the extent that they'll be able to digest it. Yeah, there is a question. Yeah.
Maharaj, like we now understand that science, a lot of things are like, you know, they are not the truth, like as per our scriptures also. But a student who is pursuing science, how he is, because till the time he is convinced, he is able to assimilate everything only if he is convinced about even science he is studying. So at the same time he is studying scriptures. So how he will create a harmony between the two, so that like, we hear always that nobody actually went on moon, so these kind of things are there. So how he will study at the same time and...
Okay, I'll just go back to that point as I was telling about my discussion with Samira. She's studying a branch of science, psychology and science. Now what I spoke, what was the reaction of that to you, Samira? When I spoke to you, you're not here when I was speaking. When I spoke to you, I was narrating our conversation. What was your impression?
And how they will just disregard it completely.
So, Shita answered your question.
And it happens often, Maharaj, because the kids, at one side, they are convinced with the Vedic knowledge, but it's not the 100% conviction. And, like, as you said, you know, we can't, like, teaching is an art. So, they are not able to convince the other students, and they're like,
okay, they don't have to convince others. You first convince yourself. Then only you'll be able to convince others.
No, then their own faith can get shaken.
Try to understand what I'm saying. If you understand, then he'll be able to make others understand. If you don't understand, then if you try to make them understand, you'll make a chaos. Right? So the point is that learn yourself, master the subject yourself, and then you go and teach. I mean, in the sense, to the extent you know, you are convinced about it, to that extent you speak. Like, if you cannot convince them fully, then bring them to someone, you know, who can give them the higher understanding or proper understanding. Right? Like, it's a, what should I say, like, it's not just the youngsters, they are studying science and, you know, how am I going to convince them? It is not that this, you have to all the time speak to them in the same way, right? You have to see, like, your conviction, like an infection, will affect them. Your conviction in spiritual subject is what is going to affect them, provided they are open. So here is two considerations. The other person should be willing to hear and you should be able to give it. These are the two combinations. Sampada? Two-way traffic. You have to have the knowledge to give and they have to be willing to accept. Otherwise it won't work. Okay, so I got your point. Now, my simple consideration will be, if somebody is suffering from a disease and when he is being treated, doesn't the doctor have to tell him to get rid of, give up, what is the cause of the disease? If the doctor says, no, you can carry on doing whatever you are doing. He's not a doctor. He's an entertainer. Right? So we are not entertainers. We are actually physicians. Doctors. General doctors treat the body. Our business is to treat the soul. And if the soul is suffering from some disease, you know, they have to be told the certain actions that they have to give up. Certain things they have to give up. And what we are asking, to give up just some four things. That's about all we are asking them to give up. And those four things, even from the moral point of view, moralistic point of view, they are very, very essential. Like for example, maybe meat eating is not so much. Won't any man in his right sense accept that taking drugs, drinking alcohol, indulging in these kind of activities are bad? Even in countries like America, unless you are sick, 18 years old, you cannot buy alcohol in a shop. So if drinking alcohol is good, then why are you prohibiting it? Right? Similarly, you know, gambling, immoral activities. So why shouldn't we give it up? Because sins, they are harmful. So those who are saying you can carry on doing whatever you want to do and just do meditation is cheating. Those people are not sincere people. To begin with, they don't have the knowledge. But they're claiming that they have the knowledge. And the result is no one is getting cured. No one is getting cured in the sense at the time of death, they would know what to do. Whereas if you come to ISKCON, what you are getting trained up to? How to face death. That's the difference. Their thing is art of living. Who doesn't know the art of living? Even a dog knows the art of living. What is important is the art of dying. in order to get immortality. The art of dying will give you eternal life, that you won't have to die again. Even death will not come to you when you know the art of dying. Death will come, you know how death will come? With folded hands, begging you, please bestow your mercy upon me. And he will put your foot on his head to climb up into the chariot that will take you to a spiritual world. You must have read it, how Dhruva Maharaj left this planet. The chariot came from Vaikuntha to take him. And, you know, when he prepared himself to go, he took bath, bade farewell to all the sages who were residing there. He circumambulated the chariot. When he was about to climb into the chariot, he saw death with folded hands. Please bestow mercy upon me. So death comes in this way to a devotee. So anyway, the point is, what others are doing, don't worry about that. What we are meant to do, that's what matters. And you will find sincere souls. Prabhupada used to say in that respect, we are not concerned about numbers. In plastic shop, you get many customers. But in diamond shop, you get very few. So if you're dealing with a very expensive commodity, then the customers will not be that many. But Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that so many customers are coming in spite of that. You know why? Because the most expensive commodity is being distributed free. Diamond shop won't have that many customers when they have to buy it with their own money. But if the diamond shop owner says, okay, today I'm going to give out all the diamonds free. Can you imagine how many customers, how many people will be there? So that's what this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's giving the highest commodity at no price at all. All you have to do is just chant the holy name, surrender to the Lord. That's all you have to do. Just surrender. So see how the questions make things exciting? Did you go further through this question answers? That's why I was pushing you for question answers. Okay, so now question hands are going up. Okay, Amit.
Guru, sometimes what happens, I have to travel, or sometimes I have to go in seminars, and after that there used to be some lunch and all these things. So when I go there, I don't take anything. So people forces us, so how can I take it? I don't take it. So sometimes they get disturbed that you are here, you come for so far. So first thing, when there are so many and I am alone, so in that case I don't preach, I keep quiet. Is it correct?
Yeah, that's a good way to kind of face such situation. But one thing I can tell you, they may be forcing you, but at the end of the day you will see that they are appreciating you.
Yes.
That you are sticking to your principle. Like I have heard people say that when they go to a party and don't drink, you know, they do put pressure on him, on them. But, you know, they admire, oh, you don't drink. So they appreciate that, you know. Because ultimately they know that drinking is bad. They may be indulging in it, but the next morning when they wake up with a hangover, you know, then they promise, I'm not going to drink again anymore. So they can't stick to that. So similarly, you know, meat eating, you know, like it's an eating. But when he surrenders to the king can take him out. Anytime. So what really matters is the surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. And remain fixed in that path. Then Krishna will take care. And that's why our prayer is always, I am totally unqualified. It's your mercy that I am simply relying on. Okay. Yes?
Maharaj, one question. As you had said earlier that who had done sinful activities, they were born in deserts. But now looking at the condition of our country, they were born in deserts because there was no vegetation, no water. But now looking at the situation of our country, those who are getting birth in India now, have they done sinful activities? Because the condition of the country is getting worse.
Now, birth in India is always auspicious. And due to the age of Kali, there is some degraded situation. But you know, it is always auspicious to be born here because you are very close to the Vedic culture. And being born here, one is getting a natural opportunity to accept Vedic culture. So that is the advantage. And like in other countries, it's more difficult to become a devotee. Whereas in India, very easy because our culture is that. So once you get to know that, once you become exposed to that, then you become attracted to it very easily. Did it take you very long to take to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah, Maharaj, I had actually done so many things. Then I reached here like Ghatata, Kavi PK, then I reached here. So maybe that was my karma. But now I am finally at the right place.
Right, so finally you came here. Now that you have come here, is it easy or difficult?
It's easy.
Because you are born in India, because you are born in this culture, it is easy when we accept it. But it is open to anyone and everyone. So whoever accepts it, and you know, it may be a little difficult, like for example, to give up eating meat in Europe and America. It's very difficult. But those who are coming to ISKCON, they're giving up. And now the culture also is changing. Now there's a culture of not eating non-vegetarian food. There's a big awareness, you know, they're realizing eating meat is bad. Taking intoxication is bad. They're realizing it gradually. And they're accepting it, a process. Okay.
You continue.
Continuing on Guruji's question, like you asked about Varna ashram. So I just want to ask, ashram specifically. So in my reading of Srila Prabhupada book, concerning Sannyas ashram, so there are certain sections, Bhagavad Gita, Puranjan section, where Prabhupada says that if you do these things, there is no need of Sannyas order. And there are certain sections of Bhagavatam like Kardamuni and Devahuti, Prabhupada's 7th canto's lecture, very specifically emphasizes that it. Gardhan Muni, whose son was Lord Kapila, he took sannyas. So it is so important to take sannyas. So sometimes when we are preaching and ready, boys who have become devotees for 1-2 years, now this question comes up in the circle of devotees, that what is our philosophy, how we are going to look at it. So we don't have a clear answer.
See, our business is to become a devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is saying, Naham Vipra Nacha Narapati Napi Vaishnava. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Vanaprasthi, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. But I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the lover of the Holy Krishna. So that is our business. Jiver Swarup Hai, Krishna Nityadas. In our spiritual identity, we are the servants of Krishna. Our Brahmachari, Sannyasi, these are not our spiritual identity. this is a social consideration.
My continuity to the Mataji's point, regarding their past karmas, etc. Prabhupada says one of the this one because of his activities in the previous life, addressing some Americans or something, he says that you have taken a birth here in a rich country and facilities, etc. But sometimes is it not a punishment to the soul that they have accessible to meat eating and drinks, etc.? How to understand that, you know, some of the vice activities and taking birth in such place?
Well, in one hand, you know, it is a result of pious activities to be born in an opulent family, and you know, like it is, you know, a facility which is a result of pious activity. But pious activities and spiritual activities are not the same. Ultimate consideration is the spiritual activity. Somebody may be very pious. Ravan was very pious, but he was not spiritual. So spiritual activities should not be mistaken with material piety. But when you take to spiritual life, the material prosperity is also going to be there. Okay. Please, yeah. Say that only women have to follow the four devoted principles. No, then okay. So I think what you are saying that the women should, they are saying that women should behave in a certain way.
Like from devotees also.
No, that's what I'm saying. Devotees are saying that women should behave in a certain way. Right? Like, you see, if you look at the natural situation, then you will see that situation is very much different from the situation that we are here today. Right? Due to technological development, you know, things have changed a lot in this world. Like, you know, you press a button, light comes up. You turn the tap, water comes up, and so forth. Everything has become so easy. And as a result of that, you know, the women's role has changed a lot. And so did men's role also. Now, if we look back, if you go back, say, another 100 years back, there was no, you know, you couldn't just press a button and electricity would come. Right? To get fire, one had to go and collect the logs. Right? To get water, one had to go to the well and fetch it. to get food, they have to cultivate the land, not just go to the shop and buy everything that you want. So in that situation, men's role and women's role were pretty different. But today, because of that, men and women have become practically equally disposed, right? There is no difference between a man's life and a woman's life in today's world. And that's why, you know, when somebody says that, oh, women should behave like this, you know, it's not, I will say it's not right. In this context, that maybe the women, like if today what is happening, you know, like the jobs are mainly sitting in the office and punching the buttons of the computer. In such situations, maybe women can do the job even better than a man. Right? And that's why it's happening. Women are revolting. Why should we be treated as inferior? Right? We should have the equal rights or better rights. And I would say it has become a natural thing because of the way the world has become today. Therefore, like to say that women should stay at home, you know, today's women will not accept it. But I can tell you, I can't imagine my mother going to an office, right, and doing a job. You know, I saw her in a different context altogether. My aunt, my father's sister, was one of the first female graduates in of that time. But she never took up a job. But her daughter took up a job. She became a professor. My sister didn't take up a job. But her daughters are, you know, big company executives. So though you see, like in one or two generations, the world has changed a lot. Therefore, we cannot expect that, you know, women should be like that. No. It is not going to be like the, if at all, then it has to be with your understanding. And in many cases, I tell you, especially, you know, the mothers of children are seriously considering to give up their job and stay at home and take care of the children. Like, so it's happening, you know, it's just voluntary. Like, they're seeing that they're just going to the office to earn money where the children are being neglected. That's not the right situation. So the point is, you see, an anomaly has been created, a kind of a complex situation has been created in today's world due to the way the world is going. But it's not really beneficial for either individually or collectively. Therefore, the bottom line is, we should not try to force, no, you're a woman, so you should be like that. No, it is not the right way to. Rather, let them have the proper understanding themselves instead of forcing them.
Maharaj,
let me
ask a question. अगर कोई या अल्लाह के पास सरेंडर कर चुका है या ईसा के पास सरेंडर कर चुका है या लॉर्ड शिवा के पास सरेंडर कर चुका है तो फिर वो कैसे इधर आ
लॉर्ड शिवा उनको बताएंगे जाओ तो रिस्का में जाकर चेक करो तुम्हारे शरीर से मेरा भक्त बनना चाहते हो तो जा, जो मेरे आराध्य भगवान है उनके शरण में जा। इफ यू रीड यू नो व्हाट आई एम सेइंग इज फ्रॉम द स्क्रिप्चर्स, देयर वर 10 सन्स ऑफ ए किंग कॉल्ड प्रचेतस एंड their father wanted them to get married. So the Prachetas felt, the sons, 10 sons felt that before they get married they should get qualified. So they went out and in search of direction, to get proper direction. And then they came across Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva taught them the prayers called Rudra Gita. And that song is actually glorifying Krishna and urging them to become devotees of Krishna. Just like, you see, first of all, this point actually has come up before, that Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. So when you approach a devotee, the devotee wants to become my devotee. The devotee will say, become Krishna's devotee. So that is how Lord Shiva reacts. So now I think I should stop. I think I covered quite a few questions. Wasn't it nice?
Yes.
Like, otherwise, you see, it was just a monologue. I was talking and I was talking. Now I wanted to see, you know, what is the effect of what I spoke. And that's why I was urging you to ask questions. And when no one was asking questions, I pushed you. What's the matter with you? And see, it had to break the ice. Somebody had to break the ice. And when the ice breaks, then it starts to melt. Okay, now we can have Damodar Ashtaka. Harmonium is this? Okay. How old is it? 70 years. Who is to use it? Your grandfather?
My grandfather. Mamaji gifted him when he was in college.
Oh. So everyone got the song copies? How are you, Mr. Dalal?
Happy to see you. How is Mrs. Dada?
She's
great,
she's there.
Oh, she's... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't notice you there. Namah Ishwaram Sachinam Anandarupam Lasat Kundalam
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Hare,
नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवं प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी श्रील प्रभुपाद की गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण
चारू स्वामी महाराज की।